You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the conclusion of this year's March Around the World after already visiting with incredible guests this month from Germany twice, Scotland, Australia, Croatia, England, South Africa, and Russia. TPC's March Around the World is already gone. Well, almost. It will end tonight after you hear from three more incredible international guests from Sweden, Great Britain, and Canada. And they'll be joining us here over the course of the next 3 hours. It'll be a former member of Parliament, Nick Griffin, our good friend, the French-Canadian journalist Remy Tremblay, going to be coming on to represent Canada during our World Showcase. And now to kick things off, back for his second appearance on TPC, hopefully of many more to come, forthcoming, Swedish filmmaker Jonas Nilsson is with us live tonight from Sweden. These international guests are certain to inform and inspire as their counterparts have been doing all month. Jonas, thanks for staying up, as I've told everyone this month, so late to be with us tonight. How are things in Sweden this evening, my friend?
Oh, very happy to be back on the show, and it's way too long since I hear this southern accents of yours. In Sweden, it's actually, I'm at a very good mood. We had a tremendously beautiful winter, if we talk scenery. Long time ago, we actually had snow the entire way through. And we are starting to have a beautiful springtime. And it's been a very long day for me today. I've been up working very early and I live in Sigtuna, which is the old capital of Sweden and the oldest maintained town in Sweden. But I was up north in Sweden today and guested some friends and just enjoying our time. We have been very fortunate with during this 2 years of the pandemic to not have any really enforced lockdown or any real restriction to actually talk about.
You know, yes, Sweden was certainly an outlier of the Western nations and of the European nations to have had the policy towards COVID that you had. And as much as you may enjoy our southern accent, we've got another one here, Keith Alexander, tonight. Say hello, Keith.
Jonas.
We got to turn your mic on, or do I have you turned up now? There you go.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
Yeah, I can hear
Jonas. You're the second Nilsson I ever heard of. The other one was Harry Nilsson, you know, that sang the theme song to Midnight Cowboy. But I was born in Minnesota, which has a large Swedish population. Have you ever been there?
No, unfortunately not, but I think you probably have more Swedes in Minnesota these days than we have in Sweden.
Well, you know, with that being said, that's actually one of the things we want to talk to you about.
Actually, they're doing the same thing to Minnesota they are to Sweden. They're pumping all these Somalis into Minnesota.
Well, Jonas, we want to talk about your work. As we mentioned, you're a filmmaker par excellence, and we're going to give you a more detailed bio intro here in the next segment. We want to talk about some of the movies you've made, some of the films, some of the documentaries, also your current projects, which are nothing if not impressive. But first, as we've been doing, as we have visited these distant ports of call, last week we were in South Africa and Russia and in Germany, to get the pulse of our people across the white world. So How would you assess the current health of Sweden, its people, its indigenous people, of course, the racial, spiritual, and physical health of the whites of Sweden? What would you say?
I think it's two-dimensional. We are in a very dire situation, which is mostly self-inflicted. But life is still very good in Sweden. Sweden is a very segregated country, and our biggest problem we have is with the politics that is trying to enforce integration, which makes it hard to actually vote with your feet, which has been the modus operandi this last 40 years during this multicultural experiment. So things are starting to heating up. There are some swings in the opinions of actually talks about a remigration, which I find I find it unlikely. I think we are a little bit too late in that state to actually be able to pull it through, at least if we're going to work within the system. So I think the solution for the well-being of people is to actually start focusing on what one can change. And in most scenarios, is what you really can change is what you can do in your local community, who you associate with, who you work with, and who you want your children and family to integrate with. And I think it's very easy to get lost with this big abstraction and the geopolitics of the world. And when you see the overwhelming things that is actually happening around the world, which is very discouraging, I think it's very easy to get the blues a little bit. And I think it's important to focus on what you can really do to improve your life. And most important thing is to create a better situation for the next generation than what my generation were handed by our fathers. So I think that's the main goal of what we actually should be thinking of. And if we look in different countries or different cultures, for instance, the Muslims or the Arabs, they have a different generational idea of these things. It doesn't matter if it's this generation or the next one that will implement the will of Allah or not. I think that we have that so integrated, ingrained within us as Europeans, that we want to solve every problem. Right now we see this problem with this multicultural society, and we just want to rally our friends and try to fix it right away, to orientate ourselves to what one could describe as, I don't know, like a decisive battle, and everything will be fine again. And I think we need to raise the heads a little bit and start to realize that maybe it won't be completely solved during our generation, that this is more of a intergenerational struggle for our people.
Jonas, that is a fantastic answer. I appreciate you looking at this in terms of the long game. It doesn't have to be something decisive that happens during our time on the watch, because we're not just fighting for our present, we're fighting for our past and future as well. That's something we say quite a bit on the show, and it's something that we need to remember. This is a generational and indeed an eternal struggle that our people engaged with, the struggle
getting
to survive.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never-ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called CoSertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Wrapping up our four-week March Around the World series tonight with, again, three more fantastic international guests. In the second hour, you'll hear once again from the former member of European Parliament, Nick Griffin, from Great Britain, Remy Tremblay, the French-Canadian journalist, in the third hour. But right now, once again, from Sweden, we have Jonas Nilsson. He is a documentary filmmaker and probably best known for producing the documentary South Africa, A Reverse Apartheid. Folks, if you have not seen this before, let me tell you, the word professional and professionalism doesn't come close to covering it. This is as good as anything you'd see in a theater, expertly produced and executed and hosted by Jonas, and it tackles a topic that's near and dear to our hearts. Of course, we just had Simon Roche on from South Africa just last week. South Africa, A Reversed Apartheid by Jonas Nilsson. Look it up. He's also an author. His book, When Migration Becomes Conflict, Political Group Dynamics, was recently translated into English, and his brand new documentary, it is hot and available now, The Power Brokers You Never Elected. It just premiered earlier this month. We're going to get all the information about that from Jonas during the second half of this hour. I want to ask him a little bit more about the racial health and the spiritual health and all of that that we've talked about Scandinavia at large. But first, I want to talk about to Keith Alexander, who wanted to sneak in a question before that last break. Keith?
All right, Jonas, what is the level of racial awareness among white Swedes now? Have they learned that they're not just... you know, like white people with darker skins, or are people still in denial about racial differences in Sweden generally?
In general, I would say that they are in a deep denial. I just need to cut in because I listen to these commercial breaks, and I'm an old MMA fighter, and I heard the tune of When Johnny Comes Marching Home, and that was my entrance song when I went into the cage to fight. So
how about that? Small world.
Yeah. So I got some like.
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I was going to say that I got some adrenaline going
there
when
there's a song that you might want to. I was going to say there's a song that if you like When Johnny Comes Marching Home, have you ever heard I'm a Good Old Rebel? You need to put that on. That is the unvarnished, you know, it says, I hate the Union Army. I hate their uniforms of blue. I hate the Declaration of Independence, too, you know. So,
well, if you go back into the cage, you can revamp with that. But I saw Jonas a couple of years ago. He's still got the stuff, I'm telling you.
Now, what weight division were you in, Jonas?
Light division, but now I'm walking around probably as a middleweight, but that's it's not a qualitative middleweight, but I was a qualitative lightweight.
Well, okay, Jonas, getting back to it, and hey, listen, this is important too, though. We talk about staying fit mentally and spiritually and physically. That's what we're asking about, and it's important to do it personally as well. A very quick question. Maybe you can give a 60-second answer on this, because I do want to ask you about the other Scandinavian states as well, just to give a quick assessment as to if one is doing better than the other with regards to white racial consciousness. But this one comes in from an expat who writes and he's writing this in real time. While working in Stockholm last year for a month, I met no one who knew or would admit to knowing about the rape crisis in Sweden, particularly in Malmo. Do you have any idea why this is? And is there an awareness that is going on, Jonas?
It is. And it's also like this two-dimensional, that you could ask the general Swede about race and everyone would deny it. You can ask them about this crime statistics, which is out, and they will deny it. But they are not living what they are saying, because white flight is a real thing here. White people are fleeing out of Malmö because of those reasons, but they will never admit openly that that's the reason why they are leaving Malmö and move out to very, very white suburban areas outside the Malmö. And that's
well,
that's
that
a
reminds
real issue.
Me, Jonas, of my father. My father got a job. They were hard to come by after World War II, so he had some army buddies from Minnesota that got him into an electrician's apprenticeship program. And he said the people in Minnesota were salt of the earth. They're the type of people that give you the shirt off their back. They're the type of people that you hope would stop if you had, or that would definitely stop to help you if you had a flat tire on the side of the road. But he said in the county I was born in, Meeker County, Minnesota, in 1950, there was one, not two, but one black person in the entire county. But that didn't stop all native Minnesotans from being instinctive experts about race relations that used to lecture him about how badly white Southerners treated blacks. And he said he'd just shake his head and roll his eyes. He said it's like people that lived in the desert presuming to tell people that lived in the jungle about jungle survival techniques.
Well, that's to your point, Keith, and to what you said a moment ago, Jonas, we must remember rather than being discouraged, we must remember that what we're fighting for, what we see in our people, isn't necessarily what they are today, but what they can be once again and what certainly they were in the past. But Jonas, how would you assess the situation in the other Scandinavian nations, Norway, Finland, and Denmark, vis-a-vis Sweden on these issues?
It's quite interesting because Sweden is an outlier amongst the Scandinavian countries, which makes the demographic and also what we would can maybe refer to as sanity within the politics better in the other countries. But the insanity of Sweden has created something else in Sweden that you don't really have in these other Scandinavian countries. And that's a really, really strong alternative media base. We got so many alternative medias in Sweden that is very high quality and that is quite well funded and has a very big reach. And it's so many of them that I can't even count them because I don't know them all. You don't see that in the other Scandinavian countries. And the reason is because in the other Scandinavian countries, the establishment have consolidated the power with the opposition. And the media have given some truths about the problems that arrived with the multicultural. While in Sweden, it's have been a complete denial from the media and it's have been a complete ostracism of the political opposition, which has forced us to create our own means of communications. So in one way, it's much worse in Sweden, but on the other way, we have a better foundation of actually reaching people with our own media establishment that is kind of growing up out of nothing while in
I was Denmark going to make a point of that. Sweden has this reputation of being so cucked, and I don't know if it's I mean, certainly it is that, but I don't know necessarily if it's more or less than any of the other Western nations. They're all pretty cucked, at least on a media and governmental and institutional level. But out of Sweden, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, so I'm going to leave out a whole lot of people that need to be mentioned, but I'm just thinking of all of the activists, really premier top-shelf activists that I know out of Sweden. I mean, there's you with what you're doing in filmmaking. There's Frode Midgard, Dan Erickson, Jonas Deger, Daniel Freeberg. Of course, he's now in the United States, but Henrik Palmgren is a native Swede. And on and on. There seems to be a proliferation of really great activists coming out of Sweden compared to the numbers, at least here in America, that you see in some of the other European nations.
Yeah, and that's quite unique. And we have our establishment to thanks for that, because it has been zero consolidation with the opposition. They have never wanted to admit anything of the wrongdoings or anything that the statistics have some truth within it, which makes people start to like thirst for some kind of truth, because people are living within this society and they feel that something is wrong, and they maybe don't want to talk about it openly, which is the reason if you ask about race, they will deny it, but of course they will know about it. And when they are living in these problematic times and problematic areas, and they see that there is no reflection of truth within the media establishment, then they will search for something that is aligned with what they themselves is experience. And I think that's the major difference between Sweden and the other Scandinavian countries and lots of the other European countries.
Jonas Keith Alexander again. Let me ask you two questions. First of all, do you have officially governmentally enforced affirmative action against whites in Sweden? That's the first question. And the second question is, is there any hope that you see of breaking through in the racial consciousness of whites in Sweden?
Jonas, ponder those questions, and in fact, we'll let Keith repose them to you as soon as we come back from this next break. And then after you answer, we will immediately pivot and transition into your filmmaking career and let the audience better familiarize themselves with your absolutely outstanding work. Folks, you're not going to want to miss that.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden in a speech Saturday called Russian President Vladimir Putin a dictator who cannot remain in power. Biden delivered the speech from Warsaw to close his trip to Europe. He pledged America's full support of NATO.
We have a sacred obligation under Article 5 to defend each and every inch of NATO territory with the full force of our collective power.
Biden also says that the U.S. will continue to provide weapons and equipment to Ukrainian forces while accepting up to 100,000 refugees. North Korea has not lost America's attention. The U.S. called for tougher sanctions after Pyongyang test-fired its biggest intercontinental ballistic missile to date. At a U.N. Security Council meeting Friday, Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield said the U.S. would propose a resolution to update and strengthen sanctions. This is USA Radio News.
While the economy is uncertain, possibilities to save money remain. Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian with Fellowship Home Loans. Even in these trying times, a cash out refinance could be the light to your path. Home values are rising and interest rates are following. So don't hesitate to make a move to do a cash out refinance now.
Let us check some numbers and see if you could save or if it might make sense to hold tight. It starts with a phone call at 800-535-2779. That's 800-535-2779 or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
We guarantee a thorough check of the numbers, the market, and your obligations to determine the best path. Give us a call at 800-535-2779, 800-535-2779.
Or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com. For more than 20 years, we've helped families save, just like we'll help you too. Fellowship Home Loans. Welcome home.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
Russia is signaling that it is implementing a new strategy in its invasion of Ukraine. Its defense ministry said in a statement that the goals of its first stage of operation had mainly been accomplished and that it will focus on securing the Donbass region in the eastern part of Ukraine. Special advisor at the White House National Security Council, Matthew Miller, telling ABC's Good Morning America that the Biden administration is not paying attention to lip service.
We always wait to see what Russia actually does, not just take for granted what it actually says, because from the beginning of this conflict, they have never been honest about their aims.
Miller adding that while the U.S. was warning the world of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Kremlin downplayed things, accusing America of fear-mongering. Chinese authorities say none of the 132 people aboard a China Eastern flight that crashed last week survived. The plane took a nosedive into a mountainous area all of a sudden. Construction excavators dug into the crash site, searching for wreckage, remains, and the second black box. The voice recorder was found on Wednesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And now we are, ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, March the 26th, our last night in our March Around the World. This annual series has become my favorite time of the year on the show. And, well, it's just been a magnificent month of talk radio. In Sweden we go now and still remain with Jonas Nilsson, the documentary filmmaker. Of course, during the first half of this hour, I've been talking to Jonas to give us his assessment on Sweden, how these guests are grading their respective nations. But we do want to move on to Jonas's work as a filmmaker. After Keith, you asked the question one more time. One more question about the state of Sweden, if you can remember the two-part question you had, and then we'll go into Jonas's filmmaking.
Okay. Well, the first part is about affirmative action. Do you have governmentally sanctioned and enforced affirmative action for racial minorities in Sweden?
We have indirectly, not so direct as maybe you have in some parts of the States, or definitely not as they have in South Africa, but companies will have tax reliefs if they hire newly arrived immigrants. And also they have tax reliefs if they hire someone that has been unemployed for a very long time.
What about something, Jonas, let me ask you this. What about selecting people for highly selective colleges and universities and professional schools? That's one of the major areas of affirmative action in America. I wondered if you had that in Sweden.
No, our college system functioned more on, focus only on the grades that you're applying on. Yeah, merits and tests.
That's a novel. Wow. Yeah,
well, what a novel idea.
Knock me down with a feather. Well, Keith, you had one more question very quickly because we got to get to his.
Okay, the other question is, do you see any hope? Is there any appearance that people, the scales are falling from their eyes and they're beginning to understand racial reality, or is that just not in the cards for Sweden?
At least on the short term.
Not on the short term. What really has united the opposition with the other layers of what you can say that unites a broader part of the Swedish population with the traditional opposition that maybe thinks more about race is this pandemic. So it has been kind of a different force that has united people. But race is a very, very sensitive topic, and people are living in denial.
Well, Jonas, this is also a topic that you have covered in film, and I want to focus on three of your films in particular before we run out of time, and that time is rapidly approaching. It always goes by fast with a great guest like you, but I want to focus on the film for which you're most well-known, the documentary about South Africa, also your most recent, newest piece, The Power Brokers You Never Elected. But you did delve into this topic on film, and that is Why is Sweden Multicultural? Multicultural, I believe that one came out last year. What can you tell us about that?
If we take it in chronological order, the South Africa Reversed Apartheid is a very interesting movie because it ties up a little bit of Keith was telling his the story of his father, and it's the same with Sweden during apartheid times. We during the 60s had no immigrations to talk about whatsoever, but still we sat on this moral high ground of lecturing countries who had a major problem with multicultural and South Africa being one of them. So we were friendly enough to provide a solution for this apartheid government and funded the ANC terrorist organization.
That's actually another question that's come in for you, Jonas, and I don't know how many modern day Swedes even remember that era, but do any of them that you know regret helping the ANC into power? Because I know Sweden played a big role in that.
Yeah, I did a follow-up documentary about because South Africa reversed apartheid. 90% of that documentary focused on the situation for the white minority in South Africa, and then we did a follow-up documentary about the Swedish social democratic support for ANC during apartheid times. And then I interviewed Pierre Schori, that worked with Olof Palme, the prime minister. He was the secretary of state during the time. And I asked him about Zimbabwe, because he said it was just that we supported Mugabe back in the days. And then I asked him, but how can you say that? Because now we have facit at hands. And what follows in Mugabe's footsteps was genocide. And he was like, yeah, genocide, but it was still right to support him. So it's no regret whatsoever. And they supported them on a socialistic level and on a racial level. And it's very, very hard for someone who sit on this high horse and who have this perception of themselves that they have acted on a moral good. So to revise that would be for them to say that I'm no longer good, I wasn't in the service of good. And and it's nothing like us in the opposition nationalists, we are more of realists when it comes to politics. We don't really think in real terms of good and evil in that sense that this socialist does. So for them, everything is very, very black and white. Either you're good or you're evil. And we in the opposition are evil and they are good. And everything that they do is good. And if the outcome is bad, then it doesn't matter because the intent of what they were doing was good. So it was a genocide that followed Mugabe, and maybe we will see a genocide in South Africa as well. But it doesn't matter because the intention that they had was good, and the outcome doesn't really matter at all.
Jonas, Bob Whitaker was famous for making a comment. He's a white advocacy guru in America back in the, 70s, 80s, and whatnot. And he said that we strive for our young to get a good liberal arts education so they can get all the right ideas about race, and also to equip them to make as much money as possible so they can live as far away from black people as possible. Now, it's really kind of discouraging to hear that. It sounds there was a Southern politician named Senator Richard Russell who famously said in the 50s that the sure cure for liberalism was a strong dose of Negroes. Apparently, yeah. Sweden just hadn't had a strong enough dose yet. Would you agree?
They have a saying in South Africa that what separates a tourist from a racist is 2 weeks.
Yeah. That is fantastic. That hits the nail on the head. Well, yeah, so I think we've come to an understanding on that. And by the way, folks, when I say that this man is a filmmaker, I think this is an instance when the medium of radio, of talk radio, doesn't do our guest justice, because you're not able to actually see the work that Jonas is capable of producing in his films. This isn't, oh, I've got a flip cam, or I bought a little camera at Best Buy and I'm going to publish something to YouTube, so I'm a filmmaker. No, Jonas is as good as anyone.
In Hollywood.
Absolutely. And the pictures are crisp and sharp, and the narratives are compelling, and it's moving, and it's just the production quality and value is just simply a top-notch and well done. So, Jonas, we have just a minute remaining. How did you come to that level of excellence? I mean, this isn't just something you do. What's your training in filmmaking?
No, I think it comes down to genes. I come up from a long line of poets, writers, and documentary filmmakers, and I just got lucky with my ancestry.
Well, that will certainly do it as well, but however it came out.
You committed another unpardonable sin. You've said that it's nature, not nurture. So, you know, left wing is going to pillory you for that decision as well.
Not that that hasn't been going on, of course, but however it came out right. And again, folks, we're going to let you know in the next segment how you can view Jonas's work for yourself and recap some of these other films as well. But the South Africa one was my introduction to Jonas's work. Lawrence Southern features in it as well. And anyway, it's just very well done, and I know that's a topic that so many of you are interested in. Jonas, I know the music is about to start in any moment, so perhaps we'll just have enough time here this segment. We've got one more remaining. What's the plug? Where's a website where people can go and find your work, and then we'll wrap with you on the other side. Go.
I think the smoothest way is to go to YouTube, and it's on Palestra Media.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You go to my Twitter handle at JamesEdwardsTPC. We're going to put a link up for you here in just a few minutes during while the show is in progress. You can link over there at YouTube. And anyway, folks, these are films you need to see, covering the most important topics of our time in a manner fitting of the topic. We'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
One more segment with the documentary filmmaker Jonas Nielsen of Sweden, where he is joining us tonight during our march around the world. It has been a fast month. It's been an expensive month. You don't get free long distance to these international countries. A little extra work on our production team here at Liberty News Radio. They've done such a good job. I want to thank our producers for the extra work they've had to put in to accommodate these international guests. And, of course, for the guests themselves who are staying up to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning in some cases just to be with our audience, it has really been a top-notch month of radio, certainly worth the time, money, and effort to bring it to you. Really, really proud of the work that we've done this month and the guests that have made the work worthwhile and have added their talents to the vision. So, Jonas, again, we're going to post at my Twitter. I'm actually at your website right now that features your different projects. But let's talk about your newest one, and we'll post that to our Twitter page at James Edwards TPC, The Power Brokers You Never Elected. This is your newest project, your newest documentary. Tell us what gave you the idea and how it came to fruition.
I was busy working on a different documentary that I'm working on now instead, that is about the Christian faith. But this was during the end of last year, and the pandemic seemed to be over, but and Sweden had not enforced any lockdowns during the entire pandemic, and now the pandemic is over, like pandemic in quote, but now we start with vaccine passport in Sweden. We start not with lockdowns, but we start with some serious restriction, and it changed the sentiment a little bit, and it was something that we really need to dig into and see what is it that actually is happening here, because we see it all over again, and it's extra clear when the entire, at least Western world, start to, in the political establishment, start to breathe in the same pace when it comes to certain policy makings. And we are on paper a representative democracy, where we have our representatives in parliament. And then you should think that policies that are being put forward should arrive from a bottom-up system, that they take in consideration what the people actually want them to do, that they represent. But here we see something else. We see policies being enforced that not the people are asking for, quite the opposite. And it is in the same pace with other countries, which is put a different layer to it, that we have with some internationalists to do to work with here, that it's other incitements as drive. So we started to dig into that, what's behind this. And the result is quite frightening. And I think we managed to deliver some answers to why it's not the same thing that's happening in all these other countries, but also why the media establishment is portraying these things in the same management. And you could put it quite easily in this regard, and think about that. If you follow the money and see the structure of influence from certain organizations, certain institutions, and certain people, then you need to regard, take Biden, for instance, as a representative, and you have the media establishment that is backing him. And you need to regard that almost in the same sense as you would regard a company, like, for instance, the Swedish company of Hennes & Mauritz. They produce clothes, and they have quite a lot of child labors that they pay like $1 a day to stitch up their clothes. And they, of course, also have a PR department that stands for the marketing. And it would be utterly insane for HM's own PR department to highlight the child labors as a commercial for the company. It would be extremely counterproductive. And that would result in the entire PR department to be fired, and they would hire people that are actually portraying the goods in a good light. And that's the reason why the Biden family is not being scrutinized by the media establishment, because it's the same people behind the curtains that has put out, supported Biden for the presidency, and that they want him to put in the things that they want. And they are also influencing the media establishment.
Let me ask you this question, because it's come up in those comments. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
you. Let me just ask this. How did the camel's nose get in the tent in Sweden? Who was there any group or party or any group that was responsible for introducing you to the joys of diversity there in Sweden?
Are we talking multicultural or the power brokers?
Well, both. Basically, our power brokers are also the people over here that have introduced diversity of course. To our lives.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you have with internationalists, and it's one demographic that has really stuck out in this manner, and that's the minority of the Jews. And every time you have your politics is a constant game of negotiations. And we have five official minority in Sweden. And when we put ourselves on the negotiation table with all these five, which happens all the time, and it has been through the ages, because that's how you run a society. And it doesn't need to be a negotiation in a formal sense that we are sitting down at the table, but it's a negotiation on a social and a cultural scale as well, that if you're going to put it blunt, the strong does what he wants and the weak suffer what he must endorse. And what differs the Jews from our other four minority is that the Jews are not a minority in the same sense, because the others are restrained within our borders. So it's very clear of how the power balance how the power balance is. But with the Jews, they are a minority here, but they also are a minority in the country next door, and the country next door to that, and the next door to that. And they have an international organization umbrella that ties all of them together, which creates an own diplomatic branch. So when we negotiate with them, we are actually negotiating with a different kind of beast than if you were just to negotiate with your native Indians about some whatever, if they're going to have a casino or not. And that makes them a very powerful entity that can push things that other minority can't push. And when we saw the introduction of the multicultural society in Sweden, it was pushed by the Jewish minority, and they always used the other minorities as a shield to open up for these minority rights and for us to open up our borders.
Jonas, what we say they do is they triangulate. For example, in the American Civil Rights Movement, they didn't come out and say, "We are your enemies, white Southerners." They say, "We're not against you, white Southerners. We're just so tired of these poor people over here, the blacks, being mistreated." And they always manage that triangulation, and that's their and they always deflect criticism from themselves. But whenever you're trying to solve the crime, all the footprints always seem to lead back to the Jewish camp.
And there's something to really be aware with, is that when it's the introduction of the multicultural society in Sweden has the same kind of pattern of all this restriction and that was put in place during this pandemic, because it was something that happened all over the place at the same time. It was the same time where you had this big civil rights new policies in America. It was the same time, almost like on the year, when it was introduced in Australia, Canada, Sweden, Germany, France, England. All these countries took this decision unanimous at the exactly same time. And the few countries that didn't have a small Jewish minority that had that kind of influence that they could enforce it on a domestic level, like Finland. No, but those countries were tied up to the system through an international pressure a decade later, which is also one of the reasons what we talked about earlier, why the demographic in Finland are better than in Sweden. The progress.
The best thing you've got going for you is your climate in that regard, but you know, to keep these minorities out. But that's a big, you know, apparently that's not enough.
Hold
in
on.
Sweden.
We just have about a minute or two remaining, and I want to tell our guest, Jonas Nilsson of Sweden, the Swedish documentary filmmaker and friend of ours, how much we've enjoyed this hour. Our very good friend, the former member of Parliament, Nick Griffin, is waiting in the wings and will be joining us from Great Britain as he represents the UK during our march around the world. But Jonas, truly, I think we could have gone for a full hour talking about the health of Sweden and of Greater Scandinavia this hour, but certainly having you on, we wanted to talk about your work as a filmmaker. And in doing that, we could have gone a full hour just on the filmmaking process, or a full hour on any one of your magnificent films. So there wasn't enough time to do it all, but we tried to do a little bit of it all. And I want to tell people this. As I said a moment ago, if you go to our Twitter handle, at James Edwards TPC, I just posted this, that we're speaking with documentary filmmaker Jonas Nilsson on about his excellent work tonight. And I gave the your handle there at Twitter, Jonas, along with a link to your film South Africa, A Reversed Apartheid, a full-length documentary about the plight of the white Boer minority in South Africa. There you can watch that film to give you an idea about how high quality the work of Jonas Nilsson is. Then you can follow him on Twitter to learn more about his other projects and link over to all of the things he's working on. Jonas, thank you so much for calling in tonight from Sweden. We're about to go to the UK with Nick Griffin. God bless you, Jonas. We'll talk to you again very, very soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Take care, Jonas. Godspeed.
Thank you, Jonas. Again, follow him there at the top of my Twitter handle. You can get all of his information. Nick Griffin's up next. Stay tuned, everybody. It's a